Good morning to all. Two quick things before I start this morning. First of all, as Troy prayed earlier, I would request of all of you to do keep Ross Evans in your prayers this week. I had a friend who went to see him yesterday, and the report was not good on his health. So I would ask all of our brothers and sisters here to keep remembering him throughout the week. Second thing is, I would like to give a special recognition to a dear friend, a brother in Christ, someone who served many, many years here at GICF, who's back just to visit today, Mr. Andrew Kelly. The cost of discipleship. Jim Elliot was a young American man. He left home. And in the 1950s, he went to the jungles of South America to a tribe of people who had never had contact with anyone outside of their own tribe. He left his family. He gave up the opportunity to make a lot of money. He gave up the conveniences of an easy life in a very developed country. And when he made contact with this tribe, a few days later, he and four other young Christian men were all stabbed to death. The cost of discipleship. Many of you know K.R. Arthur, a popular writer today. She had been serving as a missionary in Mexico for several years, and then she contracted a heart infection that led to her having to leave Mexico and move back to the USA. She would never have got this heart infection had she never moved to Mexico to share the gospel with the people there. The cost of discipleship. The famous hymn writer, Francis Ridley Havergill, who wrote the marvelous hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, in 1874, contracted thyroid fever in her late 30s and spent months lying in bed with the possibility of death at any moment. Although she recovered from that sickness, she passed away a short 5 years later at the age of 42. The cost of discipleship. This morning, we're going to continue with our study in the book of 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, in his few remaining months here on earth, sitting in prison, awaiting execution, writes to his young beloved son in the faith. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to live the Christian life faithfully. And as you should be familiar with by now, Paul, through this letter, is continuing to disciple Timothy until he eventually dies. And over the last past few weeks, we have looked at discipleship. We saw that discipleship is a responsibility. We saw that discipleship is a relationship. We saw that discipleship means having courage in your faith. We saw that discipleship means holding to sound doctrine. And today, we're going to see that discipleship involves some cost for believers. And those costs of discipleship, they involve suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. The first verse in our passage today, 2 Timothy 2:3, says very emphatically this: share in the sufferings of Christ. Suffering for Jesus Christ. Not a popular topic in churches today, where many teach that being a Christian involves no suffering of any kind. Many people today are teaching that being a Christian means never, never suffering with health or financially. Many people in churches today are teaching that being a Christian means no problems and everything will be easy and smooth if you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Suffering for Christ. I know it's not a topic. It's a topic that's not so popular among some. But I challenge you with our verse, first verse in our passage today, 2 Timothy 2:3. Share in the sufferings of Christ. The cost of discipleship for believers is sharing in the sufferings for the cause of Christ. Believers endure sharing in the sufferings of Christ through God's grace and by knowing they have an ultimate prize that awaits them in heaven. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 through 7. And as we read our passage, I want you to notice three ways in which believers are to suffer for Christ. Three areas where being a disciple of Christ will cost you something. First of all, notice with the soldier, believers suffer for Christ by having a life of devotion. And notice in the example of the athlete, believers suffer for Christ by living a life of discipline. And thirdly, notice in the example of the farmer, believers suffer for Christ by living a life of diligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let us pray one more time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Let your Holy Spirit take your living word and let it touch our hearts today. Lord, help us to understand that the Christian life, yes, it brings us peace, it brings us joy, it brings us a home in heaven, but it also involves some suffering and cost here in this life, us having to give up some things for you. Just help us to understand this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, the cost of discipleship for believers in sharing and suffering for Christ, they do that by living a life of devotion. And we find that in verses 3 through 4, which we just read about the soldier. And there in those verses, Paul uses an illustration of a soldier to teach Timothy about suffering for Christ. Now, there are many, many points we could point out about a soldier being an example of a Christian, such as fighting against the enemy or getting ready for battle. But the point here in our passage is that the soldier has one solitary purpose. And that purpose is to please the one who enlisted him. A soldier's purpose is to do what his commanding officer tells him. A soldier's devotion is solely to their commanding officer. A soldier would try to please his commanding officer by suffering and sacrificing for him. How many of you here this morning have ever served in the military? Well, a soldier suffers in many ways to please his commander. A soldier has to get up very early in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, and he does it to please his commanding officer. A soldier has to sleep outside in the rain, sometimes for weeks at a time, and he does it to please his commanding officer. Sometimes a soldier might be asked to scrub the floor with a toothbrush or clean a tank with a toothbrush, and he does it to please his commanding officer. The parallel, of course, is very easy for us as believers. Our devotion, our purpose is to please our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers, we aim to please Christ, and we do that by serving him and by doing what he asked us to do. Now, Jesus is probably not going to ask you to go and sleep out in the rain. He might, but he might not. But Jesus has told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that might involve us walking in the rain to go visit someone who is sick or needs food. Jesus is probably not going to ask you to scrub the floor with a toothbrush. He might, but I doubt it. But what about going to an orphanage and bathing orphans who would never get a bath if you didn't go? Believers please their commander, Jesus Christ, by being devoted to him. So the question, how does a soldier please his commander? And how is a soldier devoted to his commander? Well, verse 4 tells us we do it by not getting entangled in civilian affairs. Civilian here is a word that just means this world. And affairs here means of this world. And entangled literally means to become entwined in something. So Paul is telling young Timothy here, don't get entwined in the world affairs of this world. Why? Because they take away from you pleasing your commanding officer. That takes away from your devotion to your commanding officer. Say, for example, a soldier is on the front line in battle, down in a foxhole, and it's time for the soldiers to advance. There's finally an opening against the enemy to attack. And the commanding officer says, attack. But the soldier says, wait a minute, commanding officer, wait. I just got a text from my friend about the football game. I need to reply. How preposterous is this? But that's what civilian affairs do. They take away from our devotion to our commanding officer. And for believers, that means taking away from our devotion to Jesus Christ. Things of this world, civilian affairs of this world, they bog us down. They weigh us down. So our purpose in pleasing Christ becomes a little blurry in our sight. Please understand, these civilian affairs, they can be quote unquote good things. Sports, which I love, time with friends, helpful activities such as charity work, or traveling. These are good things, nothing wrong with them in and of themselves. But when we get entangled in them, they take away from our devotion to Jesus Christ. And there are many, many other things that can take away from our devotion to Christ. Another one is money, the pursuit of money, even among believers. The pursuit of getting a better job and more money, it can take away from our devotion to Jesus Christ. All of us, we live here in Guangzhou, China. And there are many, many, many civilian pursuits in this city that can entangle us and intertwine us. Recreational activities, by Yunshan, business opportunities, again, things that are good of themselves, but they can take away from our devotion. For a soldier, he has to be involved in nothing that will take away his energy from his commanding officer. And that's what civilian pursuits do. And that's what we need to avoid. We are to be careful that civilian pursuits don't take our energy and devotion away from Jesus Christ. We have the ultimate example of this in Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, through his life, taught us what it means to be devoted to the one who sent him, God the Father. Jesus was totally, without question, devoted to what God the Father wanted him to do. In Hebrews 9, quoted from Psalms 40, speaking of Jesus, I have come to do your will. And remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood because of being devoted to what God wanted Jesus to do. Jesus cried out, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus was so devoted to God the Father that it sent him to the cross so that he could please God the Father's wrath in dying for your sin and my sin. We as believers are to be devoted to Christ, not becoming entangled in the civilian affairs of this world. So how do we do that? Very, very simple answer. travel light. Sometimes here in China, I travel with my Chinese friends, and I show up with this enormous suitcase. My Chinese friends, they show up with one little small backpack. They know how to travel light. And we as believers, aliens and strangers in this world, we are taking a journey through this life. And to help us stay devoted to Jesus Christ, to help us please Christ, we need to travel light. Don't travel through your Christian journey with those things of the world slowing you down or making life heavy for you or taking away your energy that could be used for Jesus Christ. Travel a light. Travel light. Lay aside that unnecessary baggage you don't need. Throw away those activities that are taken away from your devotion to Christ. Maybe it's your hobby, I don't know, such as playing yumaocho, badminton. I don't know what it is. We all have them. Travel light. Stay devoted to Christ. A life of devotion is one way we as believers suffer for the cause of Christ. Next, we come to our second main point for today, which is the cost of discipleship for believers in sharing and suffering for Christ. We do that by living a life of discipline. And we find this in verse 5 of our passage. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Here, Paul uses the illustration of an athlete to teach young Timothy about suffering for Christ. And Paul says an athlete, first of all, has to compete according to the rules. Now, for Greek and Roman athletes at that time, they had to train for the games they were going to compete in. And each athlete had to take an oath that he would undergo 10 months of intense preparation, of training to prepare himself for the game that he was going to be involved in. And that training for athletes was not easy. It involved very, very strict discipline, a strict diet, curfew, intense workouts, all to prepare them for the competition they were going to compete in. Not easy, very difficult. And the analogy here is that believers are to have this same kind of discipline in our Christian life. We are training for the competition we as believers are in. Now, we're not involved in a game, but we are involved in living the Christian life. And to prepare for that, believers, we need to train and be disciplined. Daily Bible reading, daily Bible study, daily prayer time, finding time for fellowship with other believers, training for the Christian life by serving in some area. This is not easy. It involves discipline. Getting up early enough before work to allow myself enough time for Bible study and prayer. Not easy some days. Actually, not easy many days. But we are to be disciplined in doing it. Not only did an athlete have to be disciplined in training, but he also had to be disciplined in competing by the rules of the game. As you all know, the Greeks and Romans at this time, they were very enthusiastic about their sporting events. And the judges at these events were extremely strict. If you broke a rule of the game, you were simply disqualified. No questions asked. These judges imposed the rules to, in English we say, the letter of the law. There was no compromise. If an athlete broke one of the rules, there was no argument. There was no debate. There was no protest. There was no excuse. There was no objection. Nothing. You were disqualified. And here, Paul compares this to believers. Believers, we are competing in the Christian life, and we need to do that according to the rules. In other words, according to Jesus' commands in the Bible. That is what we strive for, and that is the goal that we have as believers. But we also know that none of us are perfect, and that sometimes we will sin. And if we do sin, we confess our sin, and Jesus forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What Paul is saying here is that sin, continual sin in your life, it might disqualify you from serving Christ, and it might cause you to be disqualified from the crown. An athlete in the Greek and Romans, they train like they should. When they train like they should, they competed according to the rules. They would gain a prize that would be a victor's crown placed on their head. And what Paul is saying here is that when Christians compete in the Christian life according to what Jesus has commanded, they win this crown. And that crown is received in heaven and then laid at the feet of Jesus Christ. Not competing by the rules, not living the Christian life how Jesus has commanded, might cause us to lose this crown. Not heaven, but the crown, the reward we get in heaven. Again, Jesus is the ultimate example of someone who lived a disciplined life. Jesus trained for the Christian life. Recall all the instances in the New Testament where Jesus got up early in the morning to pray. He had discipline in his life. And of course, Jesus competed according to the rules. He completely obeyed God the Father. Never once sinning, which qualified Jesus to wear a different type of crown. It qualified him to wear a crown of thorns that was placed on his head right before he was crucified on a cross to die for your sin and my sin. If you want to live a disciplined Christian life, then get on a spiritual training regimen. You all know what a training regimen is. If you want to get in shape, you make a plan, a regimen of the exercises you will do, of how long you will do the exercises, when you will do the exercises, and then you follow that regimen. It takes discipline. Well, we as believers are to be on a spiritual training regimen, and we are to be disciplined in it, planning time for Bible reading, planning time for prayer, planning time to spend with other believers, planning time to serve God. And we are to stick to it. We're not to give up or quit in our spiritual training regimen. I want to ask you a little personal question. How do you structure your weekly schedule in your life? Do you plan all your leisure activities first? Then plan all the necessary things you have to do, like washing clothes and cleaning. And then plan your TV time. And after all of this, if there's any time left over, whatever little bit of time's left over, you fill it in with the spiritual disciplines. That's not a spiritual training regimen that's going to allow you to grow and mature. That's not a spiritual training regimen that's going to win you that crown in heaven. A life of discipline is one way believers will suffer for the cause of Christ. And lastly, we come to our third point for today, which is the cost of discipleship for believers is sharing in the suffering of Christ. And we do that by living a life of diligence. And we find that in verse 6 of our passage, which says, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Here, again, Paul is using an illustration to teach Timothy about suffering for Christ, and he uses the illustration of a farmer. And the point Paul makes is that the farmer has to be hardworking, diligently laboring. This word hardworking means to exert energy until you are worn out. Now, we all know that farming is hard work. The farmer has to work the field. He tills the soil. He plants the crops. He waters the crops. He tends to the crops as they grow. If the farmer doesn't work the field gets overrun with weeds. And if the farmer doesn't work hard, there will be no crop to be harvested when harvest season comes. We all know farming is hard, manual labor. I had an uncle in America who was a farmer. And during my summers out of school, I would work for him. We would start at 5:30 in the morning before the sun came up. We would work through the heat of the day. And by the end of the day, you are really, really fatigued. And Paul is saying, this is the way we as believers are to be working in our service for Jesus Christ. We are to keep laboring for Christ, working and working and working. We get tired and we keep laboring for Christ. Why? Why is the farmer to work hard? Our verse tells us so he can have the first share of the crops. In other words, so he can have a big harvest when the crops grow and are ready to be harvested. But hard labor is necessary before a farmer can enjoy the bountiful crops. The farmer works hard so there is a crop to take in and he can share of it. And that's the reason we as believers are to work hard for Jesus Christ. So there will be crops to harvest. So what are these crops we're talking about that we as believers harvest? What are they? Well, it refers to any fruit produced from our hard-working spiritual labor for Christ. The crop could be people who come to know the Lord that we have worked hard with in sharing the gospel with. The crops could be a fellow Christian who grows and matures as we have worked hard at teaching them and encouraging them and discipling them. The crops could be spiritual maturity in your own life as you have worked hard at reading the Bible and studying the Bible and praying. The crops could be the overflowing peace and joy in your own life as a result of working hard in your daily spiritual disciplines. There are many spiritual crops we can harvest as a result of hard work spiritually. And of course, Jesus Christ is the perfect example of a hard-working, diligent labor. There were many busy days for Jesus here on earth when he worked hard at performing miracles, healing the sick, teaching the crowds, and teaching the disciples. And of course, Jesus' hardest work was his death on the cross and the pain he endured for sinners such as us. Have you ever heard the phrase, no pain, no gain? I'm sure you have. The meaning is, unless you work really hard at something, you're never going to gain anything. And if you want to run a marathon, you have to endure the pain of the hard work to train for it. If you want to become a doctor, as some of you here are, you have to endure the pain of all those years of studying. If you want to write a book, you have to endure the pain of spending the time writing and researching and rewriting the book. And the same principle applies in our spiritual lives. Without hard spiritual work, there is no gain spiritually. You don't just wake up one morning and have a head full of Bible knowledge. You have to work hard at studying the Bible. If you want to have an effective prayer life, you have to put in the hard work of praying. If you want to mature as a believer, it doesn't come without the hard work of Bible study and prayer. You want to teach Sunday school, it doesn't come without the hard work of getting to know what the Bible says and preparing lessons. In our spiritual lives, no pain, no gain is a biblical principle. So endure the pain. Put in the hard work. There is no short or easy way. A life of diligence is one way believers will suffer for the cause of Christ. As we conclude this morning, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not going to be easy. I know we don't like to hear this. There's going to be suffering along the way. Share in the sufferings of Christ. It's in the book. I know it's not the most encouraging message, but it's the truth of the Bible. No matter how much we dislike it, no matter how much we don't want to talk about it, it's what the Apostle Paul advised Timothy as he was discipling Timothy and giving him encouragement in his Christian walk. I'm going to encourage you, Timothy. You're going to suffer. Sufferings are going to come. As we finish, I want to leave you with four practical steps you can put into practice in your Christian life when those sufferings do come, and they will help you to endure those sufferings for the cause of Jesus Christ. First of all, make your Christian life 3D. You all know what 3D movies are, three-dimensional movies. There are supposedly movies that are more exciting, more lifelike. 3D movies, they let you feel and participate in the action. Well, this morning, I have talked to you about the 3Ds of the Christian life. A life of devotion, discipline, and diligence. Yes, those 3Ds are part of the suffering we endure as believers. They are a part of the cost of discipleship. But if you live a Christian life of devotion to Christ, of a disciplined lifestyle, of diligence in working for Christ, then just like a 3D movie, your Christian life is going to be more exciting. You're going to be more of the part, more, you're going to be more involved in the action of that God wants you to be in, of building His kingdom. The Christian life is going to be more real to you if you put these 3Ds into practice in your life. Make your Christian life 3D. Secondly, when we are called to suffer for the cause of Christ, remember your prize awaits you. Suffering for Christ is a very short time. It's not going to last forever. And any suffering we experience here on earth is minute to the reward and prize we get in heaven. Did you notice that all three of the examples for today, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, there was a reward for all three of their suffering? The soldier's reward for a life of devotion was he pleased Christ. The athlete's reward for a life of discipline was a crown. The farmer's reward for hard work and diligence, reaping crops. All we do for Christ will have an eventual reward. And when we as disciples of Christ share in the suffering of Christ and endure it with faithfulness, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says we receive an imperishable crown. Not only do we get this reward, but part of that reward also includes the splendor of heaven. So when you experience suffering for the cause of Christ, focus on the ultimate prize that awaits you. Thirdly, when called to suffer for the cause of Christ, realize that resources are available, like our library. God doesn't just save us and leave us alone. He equips us, empowers us. He never leaves us. The Bible says God gives us all things that pertain to godliness. God gives us the Bible with His promises that encourage and motivate us when we suffer for Christ. God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us and keep us when suffering comes. God gives us other believers as friends to encourage us and help us when we suffer for the cause of Christ. You are not left to your own strength, and you are not left alone. And fourthly, when called to suffer for Christ, remember Christ's sacrifice and suffering on your behalf. Christ gave up His life for you. Christ endured so much suffering, ridicule, mocking, being betrayed, being beaten, being scourged, being nailed to a cross, suffering the physical agony of the pain of dying on a cross. And Jesus suffered spiritual agony, bearing the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, taking God's divine wrath that God demanded as payment for our sin. And Christ suffered all that so that you and I can have forgiveness of sin. Jesus suffered to bring us salvation and to take away our sin. Christ suffered much more than any of us will ever suffer in this life. When you suffer for the cause of Christ and get discouraged, want to quit, want to give up, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. See Christ hanging there for you. Remember the cross. Let us close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank you that sometimes in your word we find things that we don't like to hear. Some things that might make us a little uncomfortable. And suffering for you is one of those. But Lord, it's a truth of the Bible. It's one of the costs of following you. It's one of the costs of discipleship. And Lord, I pray for each believer here this morning that they would live a life of devotion to you. That they would live a life of discipline for you. And they would live a life of diligence, hard, working hard for you. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you, that they would look to the cross. They would see Jesus, the pain and the suffering that he endured there on their behalf. That they would see Jesus' shed blood spilt to take away their sin. And that this morning they might place their faith in your death on the cross as payment for their sin. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.